Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
There's no doubt that God is trying to really draw us in this evening in a powerful way. I don't know about you, but worship is just huge, and he wants us to be free. Amen. He really wants us to be free. And so I'm going to speak for a few minutes, and we're going to stay in this place of worship, and we're going to draw back into that place. And whatever God has for you tonight, I just want you to be really open to it. I got a feeling that some people are just really tired and weary. And tonight is not that night that you're going to remain tired and weary. But tonight is a night that you can walk into freedom because you embrace the truth about who Jesus really is. And it's not about religion. It's not about church. It's about a relationship. All of Christianity is about a relationship, and that relationship is with him, to know him and to go deeper in that intimacy with him. Tonight I want to talk about bound to be free. And as I was sharing earlier, you know, Otis bought me some guitar strings, and I really appreciate that. But this guitar string, if it's not bound to the guitar, it's never going to sing. It's never going to play. It's just going to be a string. And if I bind it to that guitar, all of a sudden you can play notes on that string. And then, of course, if all six strings are bound and they're tuned, then there's beautiful things that can come out of that guitar, or 12-string guitar. And God is, I believe, saying to us that we need to understand that if we're not bound to Jesus, then we can't be free. If we're not bound to him, we can't sing the song that he has for us to sing. And that's why the relationship is so desperately important for us to become undone in this relationship with Christ. It's never going to change. It's always going to be about pressing in and knowing him more. And so tonight, that's what I want to talk to you about. So that your life, I want to encourage you that your life will sing. That you will be bound to freedom. Bound to freedom in Christ. Jesus is the great liberator. He is the one who sets us free. No one else can set us free, only Jesus. No one else can set us free except Jesus. Because no one else overcame death. And he did. He's the great liberator. He sets us free. And our hearts need to be in unity with him. In this relationship with Christ, I realize that I can get off many times and I can begin to back away and not have that time of being close to him in his presence. And it's in his presence that I can begin to understand my need for him, because in his presence, he reveals a lot of my own sin and the things sometimes I don't even understand that's going on in my life. I just begin to go through the motions, but in his presence, he begins to reveal things that need to be changed within my life. And I believe that's what he wants to do tonight. He wants to draw you into his presence so that you can begin to allow him to change some things in your life. I remember being I've spoken about it many times in a conference of about 4,000 people, and it was a spiritual warfare conference down in Jacksonville, Florida, and I couldn't wait to go, and I thought, man, I'm going to really get some meat. I'm going to get some real tools to put in the tool belt to be able to advance the kingdom. I was so excited to go, and I went there, and all of a sudden, God showed up. His presence showed up in this conference of over 4,000 people, and when his presence showed up, everything shifted and everything changed. And everyone, 4,000 plus people, begin to weep over their sin. Because his presence revealed things deep within me that I didn't even know they were there. And I thought I was doing pretty good. I was saved. I was filled with the Spirit. But all of a sudden, when God's presence started showing up, I started repenting. And all I could say was, all I could do is wail and weep and say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm telling you, we need that type of presence in our life. Because our pride, thinking that we have it together and we can make it without God, is absolutely opposite of the love of God. And pride sometimes happens to all of us. And God is wanting to break that over us so that we enter into that place with him. Jesus rendered in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. I won't go into it, but you can reference there later. In Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, Jesus rendered powerless him who had power over death, and that is the devil. He rendered the devil powerless so that we might be free to those who, through the fear of death, were subject to slavery their whole life. How many people, even in this room, how many Christians do I know that still fear death? And they're almost enslaved to it. But when you are with Christ and you know the freedom and you're bound to freedom, you know that death, it's another part of living in Christ. Matter of fact, Paul said, for me to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So I got to tell you, and I'm not bragging here, but I don't even think about death. Because God has set something deep inside me that I know that death is eternal life and death is being in the presence and it's part of me living. That my spirit is never going to die. The spirit that's in me right now is going to be in the presence. So I don't live in the fear of dying. It hasn't happened to me. I don't fear that. I don't think about it. And some people are just almost possessed by it. But Jesus is saying in Hebrews chapter 2, he's saying, I've overcome him. I have made the devil powerless. I have overcome death. So you don't have to be a slave any longer to sin. You don't have to be a slave any longer to death. You can live in the freedom knowing that he overcame. Okay? That in itself is something to shout about, to dance about, to sing about. But we got to get that. It can't just be this thing, oh yeah, I've heard that before. No, we got to get it deep, deep, deep within our heart. That the devil is defeated. And death cannot hold us. And we have freedom in Christ. Right now, I know sometimes we think that Christianity is a sign of weakness. We see it all over and hear people talking that it's a crutch. That is the work of the enemy big time. But Christianity and walking with Jesus is the greatest sight or greatest courage that we could ever have, is to say yes to him and be free in him. And tonight, God wants you free from everything. Everything. Maybe some things you don't even know about, he wants you free from. I'll explain that in a minute. Freedom from sin and death. A free person, I just wrote this down, a free person is not afraid of death. They're not afraid of it. That's why they can be martyred. That's why they can say, you mean you're going to blow my brains out if I deny Christ? And you say, okay, man, you're going to put me in the presence of my living God like that. When we know that, and when we're free and we're bound to him, we can step in any situation and walk through it with him. And I believe God wants us ready, in season, out of season. We are also going to be free from injustice. I was thinking of Obadiah, the book of Obadiah, and it promises the world that it will not always be like this, that Jesus is going to come and he's going to bring freedom. And the book of Obadiah is about a downfall of a people who through pride thought that they didn't need anything, they could do it on their own. Obadiah was one who served and worshipped Yahweh. Small book, but a powerful book. And these people got prideful. And that's the condition of many nations and many people, that we can make it on our own. We can't. We won't. We have to have him. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. If you want to turn there, I didn't give them any reference back there, but if you can find it, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, New American Standard. This is one of my favorite verses. And it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, I won't go into that, but that's pretty powerful. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And here's that being bound to Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. The joy is us. He endured the cross because of us, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. So you consider him so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's a powerful verse. Powerful chapter. But when it goes into this, it says, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us. Not many people are talking about sin. Not many people are. A lot about grace, a lot about mercy, but not about sin. And God is trying to warn us, each and every one of us, to be careful. Because sin can entangle us and cause us to fall away. We won't be able to run the race with any kind of authority or courage or humility. And so God wants us to understand his presence. Sin sometimes is only discovered in his presence. That's why I told you the story about the conference. I went there all fired up. I went there hoping to get more meat. I was going there hoping to be more equipped so I could help other people and lead the charge in warfare. And to my surprise, I went there and my sin was revealed. God had another plan. But my sin wasn't revealed until I entered into his presence. And his presence revealed the sin that was still in me. The wretchedness, I was thinking just putrid stench of sin in my heart. And God revealed it. And all I could do is say, I'm sorry. Because I thought I was okay. And you know why I thought I was okay? Because I was thinking sin was this outward act. It's an outward act. You know, we'll take care of it. We'll deal with that. I won't do that anymore. But I had no clue that sin that I didn't want to do anymore was deep, deep, deep down inside of me. And it was his presence that began to reveal that deep place within me. And it began to change me. Basically, his presence unveils our sin many times. And why is that? Because he draws us near so that we can become more bound to freedom. And there isn't a sin that dwells deep within us that controls us. We know more and more of sin. Listen, we know more and more of sin within our lives when we know more and more of God in our lives. Do you get it? When we know God more, we understand the sin that is still there. And when we draw near to God, all of a sudden we think, man, why did I have that attitude? Why did I enter into that gossip? Why did I do that? Because the best way to deal with gossip is to say nothing. And it just begins to tear it up. But God reveals those things. Like, I thought I took care of that. And then all of a sudden, there it is. And the presence of God begins to reveal it. I'm going to give you an example. King David is one of my favorite characters within the Word of God. And the life of David and just how he was this overcomer and this warrior. And King David was amazing, and the things he did as a young man and as he grew and grew into his position as king of Israel. And he had God's favor on him. Everybody knew he had God's favor on him. And he was this great king. But perhaps David, like I just shared with you a minute ago, thought sin was always an outward act. That he didn't know that it ran deep, deep within us many times. Am I forgiven of my sin? Absolutely. But are there strongholds of sin in my life as a Christian and God needs to renew my mind and free me? Absolutely. If somebody tells you different, they're lying to you. Because it's an ongoing process of getting free. And it may be some little thing and all of a sudden God shows you. That is his grace and his mercy, but he wants to expose it. Okay, David, this man of God, he thought that his sin was an outward act. And he thought it would be easily made right. If he did something, he would just make it right because he was the king of Israel. David discovered the true nature of sin by a most shameful process and a most humiliating process. He committed a crime. He committed murder and he committed adultery. This is King David. And months and months and months went by. And he was probably doing the same thing he always did. He probably was operating in the temple, doing what he always had done. probably was singing, doing many things. Then all of a sudden, a prophet by the name of Nathan showed up and told him a story about this man who committed murder and this man who committed adultery. And of course, David's indignation toward this man was huge. And he said, let's take care of him. And Nathan says, that man is you, David. It's you. It's you. And of course, at that moment, David couldn't believe that God just revealed his sin. You see, he thought everything was okay. It was outward. But that sin was deep, deep, deep within. And it was still there. And God knew that if he was going to make David the man of God that he needed to be to finish strong, he had to deal with that. And so he revealed it. God shines a light and reveals that David is an adulterer and a murderer. He cries out, David does, for a deeper work of God. Then he starts saying he sees the depth in which he came from, the sin that he came from. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity. In sin, my mother conceived me. And this is what I want to say, and I want to get back to the place of God's presence and God's freedom. I've dealt with sin in my life. I'm sure you have too. But sin destroys beauty. It destroys beauty. The things that God has for you, the beauty that he has for your life, the abundance that he has for your life, sin destroys it. Sin pollutes your mind. And sometimes we just, again, we don't talk about it. It's an outward act. You know, I'm forgiven. I'm under the blood. I'm under the blood. I'm under the grace. I'm under the mercy of God. Yes, you are. But God is speaking. And he says, what about this? What about this? Give this to me. Draw near to me. And I'm going to reveal more of what I want to do in your life. That's why you're here tonight. Because God wants to do that to all of us. He wants to change us. He wants to disclose some of the sin. When we become men and women of sin and we're embracing that grace, we become faint-hearted. We begin to move backwards. Last few things here. If you guys can just play a little. So why am I saying all this? Why am I preaching this tonight to you? Because many Christians have a feeble view of sin. They don't understand what it's doing to them. And so they allow it to stay there. And God says, no. I'm not talking about becoming some kind of robot. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about love. I'm not talking about not living in fear, not living in compromise, but living in the presence of God and letting the presence of God begin to reveal more and more of what he wants to do in your life. Let him do a deeper work in you. But you got to be willing to do it. I'm okay. Everything's going good. God wants to clean it all up. And he does that. Not only by hearing truth, receiving truth, hearing the voice of Jesus, getting revelation, but he does that when you enter in and you draw near and you press into his presence. More God, it reveals more stuff. So don't ever, ever, ever judge people. Okay? Don't do it. We are all in great need. Who overcame death and made the devil powerless? Who? Jesus. It wasn't you. It wasn't me. It was Jesus. And that's why this whole Christianity is about a relationship with him. I read some things earlier today. I didn't want to bring you into this, Todd Howard. But this earlier today, put you on the spot, I went into the barn where you were working, and there was a clipboard there. You had all these things written down. And I wish I would have brought it. But you said, I remember some of the things you said. No longer am I going to live the way I've lived before. All things are new. And I'm going to draw near to God. And I'm going to live for him. He's got my life, pretty much is what you were saying. And I'm not going to go back to my old ways. And so tonight, that's what we need to do. We need to just press in and draw near to Him and ask Him, is there anything that you want to do? Is there anything that you want to change? Is there anything in me that you want to reveal? This feeble view of sin happens because we don't draw near enough and close enough to Him. I crack up when I see brothers and sisters that are pressing into His presence. Sometimes they're almost a little goofy, in a good way. But they're like, they're just gone. They're just gone. I shouldn't have said goofy. I'm sorry. Forgive me for that sin. They're just gone because they love Him. And some people are going, what's wrong with those folks? It's Him. They've pressed into Him. They've pressed into His presence. Why don't you stand? You remember how Isaiah viewed God? And then all of a sudden it changed when he saw Him on His throne. And what he said, oh, who am I, this man of unclean lips? Remember Daniel and Job? I'm asking the Lord to help us not have a superficial view of sin, but that we would be bound to freedom, bound to Jesus. Did you guys enjoy worship tonight? It was amazing because it was all about Him. So let's enter into that place again. Let's just see where He wants to take us. And if you need to come forward and just lay some things down, don't care about anybody that's in the room. Just do what you need to do before the Lord. And give it all to Him. Give everything back to Him. He wants to make your life beautiful. He wants to make a beautiful canvas about your life. We need to be alarmed. Nearness to God intensifies, expands our view of our own waywardness. Don't let God be far away tonight. Let Him be near. So I'm just going to pray. We're going to see where we're going. Holy Spirit, I know that You are here. You're living within us. I ask tonight that You would do a deep work in us. That if there's anything that we're still holding on to, that You would reveal it. Concern right now about the outward, but the inward, our hearts, and the condition of our hearts. Draw us near to You tonight. Holy Spirit, come. Bring healing. Bring repentance. Give us clear vision of the Holy One, Holy Spirit. get near to him.
Take this offering. Take this offering that I bring. Humbly I'll fall on my knees to proclaim your everything. My life's nothing without you. Take my hand and lead me through. You are my sustaining love. Take this offering. Take this offering that I bring. Humbly I'll fall on my knees to proclaim your everything. My life's nothing without you. Take my hand and lead me through. You are my sustaining God. I need
into that place of freedom. Let your presence fall in this place as we draw near to you, Father. Father, reveal the Son to us in a deeper way tonight. The sinless one who laid it all down for us. That with Michael.
Forever, I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you forever.
Make it a declaration tonight.
I'm gonna worship you forever.
Jesus.
I'm gonna worship you.
We're gonna gonna worship you forever. King of glory.
There's resurrection in the repentance. There's resurrection in the admission of guilt. There's resurrection in the cleansing. There's restoration. And you want to lift us up, God. When we go low, you lift us up. Help us never to fear going low before you.
Tonight earlier we were honoring him and singing on to him. And I want to stay in this place, but I just want us to increase our worship. And in the midst of increased worship, I know that there's more freedom that God wants to just bring into this house tonight. So I want you to sing your heart. Sing your heart onto the Lord with everything you have and worship Him. That we would get a clear vision of how holy He is and how good He is. And that God's presence and His nearness would intensify. That He's not going to be far away. He's in the midst of our praises.
How can I keep from Troubled times, I can sing.
fix our eyes on you. We're bound to you. We can sing. Troubled times.
Sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my step and fall down again. I can sing 'cause you pick me up. Sing 'cause you're there. I can sing 'cause you hear me, Lord.
Lord, for tonight, we thank you for freedom. We thank you, God, that we can shout out your name and sing your name. We keep pressing in closer to you, that you would reveal everything that needs to be revealed within us so that we would be able to be near to you and be free. Thank you for this evening, God. May we be bound to be free, bound to you, fixing our eyes on you, whom our faith depends from the beginning of the race to the end. We thank you so much. I ask, God, that what was broken off tonight, the freedom that was experienced, we pray right now in the powerful name of Jesus and bind every assignment of the enemy to try to take back anything or try to destroy anyone in this room. We ask, God, that we would mount up with wings as eagles, that we would run and not be weary, that we would walk and not faint, that we wouldn't be a bunch of people that just complained, but a bunch of people that were so in love with you. That everywhere we went, we reflected you. Everything we did it for your glory and for your honor. That all of our work was done as done unto the Lord and not unto man. We thank you for this wonderful evening. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Keep moving forward in Him. God bless you.